Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. Today we have with us a second part of our series on the Local 2020 Organization, which is a conglomerate of action groups working towards sustainability and resilience through action and education. There are action groups ranging from emergency preparedness to healthy living. Today we have with us Judith Alexander, the leader of the Local Food System Council, and Suzanne Jones, Resiliency of Heart Action Group. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You're welcome.
Judith, I understand that you are involved with the Local 2020 on a more significant level than with the One Action Group. You were one of the founding members, is that correct?
That is correct, yes, back in 2006.
Tell me how you came to be a part of that steering committee to bring this to the Jefferson area.
Well, prior to that, I was very involved in the local peace movement, Port Townsend peace movement, and several of us that were working within the peace movement realized that we would continually be a nation at war over resources and that we needed to learn how to live differently. Mm-hmm. So we spun off from the peace movement and started Local 2020 as a way to engage our community in thinking more explicitly about living sustainably and resiliently rather than continuing to try to just own more and more stuff and travel more and more distances and that sort of thing. So it's a whole different focus from peace.
Now, say one more time the name of your action group.
The Local Food System Council.
And specifically in that action group, what are the targeted efforts?
Well, there's actually been three food action groups within Local 2020 from the beginning. The first one was called the Food Resiliency Action Group. Then we became Citizens for Local Food. And then more recently, we've become the Local Food System Council. And that reflects a morphing of the emphasis on how we grow food and produce food locally. The Local Food System Council is actually a kind of different action group than many of the others because people are actually invited and recruited to be on that action group because we represent the whole food system from farming and seed growing through value-added production, wholesale retail sales, nutrition education, health regulation, onwards to food waste management. So, and it's a whole spectrum of people that represent the system that provides food for us. So it's a little different kind of action group because the people are really almost sort of chosen to be on the Food System Council and represent that sector around the table. There's 20 of us around the table every month.
20. Well, as I understand, Local 2020 is an organization that creates or invites targeted efforts somewhat based on passion, and that it really is, they almost all stand alone as separate action groups. And does it come together at some point as a larger entity, the Local 2020? Do you have
We have a council.
A council?
We have a council, and the council's relatively small. There's probably, around 10 or 12 people that come to the council meetings every month. And they oversee the business of the organization. They're the board members, like treasurer, vice president, president. They manage the bank account. They manage the oversight directions of the various action groups. But each of the action groups is relatively autonomous, and they send a representative to the council to kind of maintain some ties there, but I think of it like an octopus. Mm. It's got a head, that's the council, and it's got a lot of arms that flail off of that head that do their own thing. And when you hear from Suzanne, you'll see her whole focus is completely different than food or emergency preparedness or energy or some of the other action groups as well.
But the commonality is resiliency.
And resilience and sustainability through action and through education.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's really powerful about the framework of this organization is it allows the scaffolding to help you do greater things, but each of these targeted groups have the benefit of feeling very impactful, it sounds like, where you can drive the goals and the agenda and the focus. So going back to this breadth of the system, the food system, tell us a little bit about some of the efforts that your group is engaged in terms of outreach or education.
Well, just last year, we did an outreach effort with a discussion course called Menu for the Future. It's the second time in Jefferson County that that course has been utilized en masse. We started about 25 different discussion groups in different people's homes or churches or places of employment. That was back in 2010, something like that. And then we took the course up again and disseminated 10 more courses this year. And it's just a way of spreading the knowledge of what's happened to our food supply nationally through like a book discussion group format. Only the book isn't a single book by a single author. It's a syllabus.
I see.
It's got many different authors excerpted in this 6-week process.
So a community member could participate in this.
They could instigate one with their friends or with their neighbors. The course is self-packaged to be user-friendly. There's no teacher.
Mm-hmm.
There's just
it's
you buy the book.
Self-directed.
Self-directed. You buy the book for $20 and you take off with whatever group you want to do it with.
And then are you integrated into, say, moving policy or action in distributors or packaging in the area?
Funny you should ask. We just spent the last 2 years with a policy committee, which is a committee of the Local Food System Council.
Okay.
And those were people who were interested in policy formation and recommendation to inform the updated comprehensive plan with the county, the Board of Commissioners, the Planning Commission, and the Development Department actively consulted with the Food Council around what land use policies were needed to be changed and updated to support local agriculture. So it's not my arena, but some people on the Food Council took that and worked with it avidly for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I believe the final document is being submitted. It's got to be submitted every 20 years to the state of Washington. And the county is just on the verge of submitting that final document to the state.
And
right now,
what is your targeted interest? You said that wasn't necessarily your thing. Yeah,
I'm on the education and outreach committee. I do a lot of networking and outreach to not only the general public around getting up to speed about what's happened to our food supply and why it's so important that we support our local farmers and local food producers, but also I try to work with organizations like the school system or understand what the food co-op is up to with their strategies and policies. And so I do a lot of networking amongst the various players in Jefferson County to move our local food system to a stronger position, a bigger share of the market, more public support for purchasing food at the farmers market or through a CSA program, community supported agriculture plan, where you order your food from a particular farm on an annual basis. So I'm a systems thinker, which is, what led to helping to start Local 2020, is if we're going to live differently, we have to set up our system in such a way that it supports giving people the information and the tools that they need to make better choices.
That's fantastic. You're listening to Everybody Can. This is Missy Nielsen, and I am speaking with Judith Alexander from the Local 2020 group. She is involved with the Local Food System Council. Now, Judith, we want to spend some time with Suzanne on her resiliency of heart group, but I do want to introduce to folks something that might be an unknown or a misconception that folks, our listeners, might have about the efforts, or why is it important for us to be targeting our resiliency effort on food distribution or food?
I'll give you two reasons why. I think one is that a lot of people are completely unaware of what has happened to our food supply nationally. It's been relatively hijacked by corporations over the last 20 or 30 years. And so most foods, if you look at the ingredients labels, it says high fructose corn syrup.
Mm.
Well, people are getting their health impacted seriously by the nature of what's been put in our food through the industrial agricultural system. So people are getting diabetes, they're getting obese, they're getting high blood pressure. All of those things are probably food-driven illnesses, and people don't even understand that. So you see in the food co-op, a lot of time people are reading labels on the back of packages. Not so much when you go to the mainstream grocery stores, which is where a lot of that food is sold.
And then what is the average? I remember in preparing, you had sent me some statistics that were just overwhelming. The average distance that food has traveled?
From farm to plate, average distance is 1,500 miles, which gets me to the second point, which is climate change is largely impacted by the way we eat. The fact that we eat so much meat, the fact that we eat so much food that's been trucked across the country or up from Mexico, it's like we don't understand that we vote with our fork every single day, three times a day.
Your fork.
And we, you know, I saw a picture in an EcoTrust magazine ad one time, and we might put it in our newsletter. It's like a road sign that you see on the freeway. It's a green sign that says food, 1,500 miles, better food, 50 miles.
There you go. Very, very powerful.
Yeah.
Judith, some great stuff. Now, Suzanne, you're here from the Resiliency of Heart Action Group. Tell me a bit about this action group.
Well, we're trying to connect people to one another.
And you're talking about the social heart, not that well, of course, you have a healthy heart from being socially engaged. But we're talking about connections.
Yeah, and interestingly, being connected socially, there are a lot of statistics about how much that helps us physically.
That's why we volunteer, too. Yes.
Right, right. Yes. Volunteering is a wonderful way to share and connect. And so we have actually more than one focus. We're the action group, Resiliency of Heart, but under that we have more than one focus. And one of them is called Art for Earth. We bring people together to collaborate in artistic endeavors of different kinds. We have a community mural being painted right now.
In Jefferson County?
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
Well, it's going to be hung over a historic building in what used to be called Sweet Lorette's Courtyard, but it's actually Chester Square, and it's always been Chester Square, but nobody knew that. So we've created a mural, which will probably be installed within the next month, saying, "Welcome to Chester Square," and that has been a community activity. People join us every couple of weeks and just contribute to the painting, and it's been growing as it goes in terms of what's in it and that sort of thing.
So the mural is in a public space and someone wandering by can pick up a paintbrush and participate?
When we're there, we have all the paints pulled out. Anybody who walks by is invited to participate, yeah.
So Resiliency of Heart is about connecting with community and an expression of art as a means to connecting with community as well. If you're not an artist, but you know how important it is to become socially connected, what other efforts are you engaged in that Resiliency of Heart?
Well, one thing I want to say is another thing that we do is we call the intergenerational art movement. We have intergenerational art happenings every month over there in that same courtyard. And anybody can come and join us. You don't have to be an artist, or you don't have to think of yourself as an artist. And what we're doing there is we're trying to connect the generations, because I think this is something we need to get back in our society, is connected at all ages. So we'll have a 5-year-old, a 50-year-old, a 65-year-old painting a painting together or making a weaving together. And these are not people who generally think of themselves as artists.
Right,
and
right.
It's quite amazing how what they do, you know, when they actually pick up a brush and start painting, comes out is quite amazing.
Excuse me. I'm reminded of when we, say, for example, are at a restaurant and they've got crayons and pencils people start doodling, and then someone leans over and kind of adds a little color to that drawing, and all of a sudden you've got a collaborative effort. And there's something about building together that creates a sense of togetherness.
It is. It really creates a bond. And I've been doing this in one form or another for about 2 decades, and I'm always just moved and impressed by the energy and the atmosphere that happens around this. It's almost reverent at times when people start communicating, connecting at that level.
Yes.
And so I see it as a very important community building.
Now, how did you become involved with the local 2020? You said 2 decades of doing this elsewhere. What brought you to the local 2020?
Well, I've been interested in ideas like the transition movement, and Port Townsend is now a transition town, and what they call lean economies, or you know, local economies, gift economies, that sort of thing, for quite a while. When I came to Port Townsend 7 years ago, I found out about Local 2020, but I was in doing some other things that were taking up a lot of my time, and it took me all this time to get involved, but I finally found the time, and they welcomed me, and I'm really happy to be involved.
So if our listener is hearing what you're talking about and would like to become connected to your action group, how would they reach you?
Well, I'm going to give my personal email. I think there's a Local 2020 email, but I don't have it. So my personal email is watercolorsusie, all one word, WATERCOLORSUZY 60@gmail.com.
And they can reach you to find out your next meeting, what efforts you're doing.
Yeah. And if I can just add another aspect of this is actual communication workshops. I've been involved for 25 years with Marshall Rosenberg's nonviolent communication model, also called compassionate communication. And we are going to be doing some workshops that are going to be sponsored by Local 2020, probably on a weekly and monthly basis starting in August.
Incredibly, incredibly important in this time to learn how to be compassionate in the way we speak to one another and communicate. Yes. Do I understand? Could you tell me a little bit more about this communication workshop?
Well, it's going to be the basics just to start out. Nonviolent communication has some guidelines that I have found to be really helpful in helping us shift the way we use language, shift the way we relate to one another. But it also has some really unique underlying premises. So for people who want to continue learning more about it, then we'll find other ways to make that happen. But we're going to be, I'm going to be starting weekly workshops, I believe, at the Boiler Room, starting in August, and over at the Unitarian Universalist Church, we're going to be doing monthly workshops.
Excellent.
And all the public is invited to all of that.
And Judith, for folks listening in and saying, I want to get involved, I want to connect with this Food System Council, what is the best way for them to touch base with you?
We have an email address. It is JC for Jefferson County, and then the words Local Food System Council at gmail.com. JC Local Food System Council at gmail.com.
Excellent. And anything in the pipeline you want listeners to know about?
I believe for people that are interested in exploring potential membership on the Local Food System Council, I think we're going to open up our October meeting to the public on that score, so that people can come to a meeting, see how what
out.
We do, check us out. We always seat new members in January, so there's a 3-month kind of get to know us and recruitment process that we go through October, November, December, and then at the January meeting, whatever new members are going to join come for the first time. And we usually have a turnover of 6 to 8 of those 20 members.
And that'll be on the Local 2020 website?
It will be, yes.
Excellent, excellent. Judith, Suzanne, thank you so much for coming in today. The Local 2020 is such a robust organization. I'm so pleased to have a chance to kind of drill down into 2 of the action groups that are powerful and impactful for our community. Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our sound and editing for this program is in the expert hands of Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Thanks for listening.